Okay, so I will talk about work done with Ricardo Argurio and Asaf Shumer. There are many works done on the subject of string theory on ABS3 background. I mentioned here some of the works that are more closely related to what I have to say today. Some of my motivations to study this subject are that ABS3 is a relatively simple example of a curved space-time background of string theory, and I consider it as a warm-up exercise for studying more interesting time-dependent string backgrounds. In the context of the ADS-CFT correspondence, the case of ADS-3 is special because Ramon-Ramon backgrounds are not necessarily required, and that allows the study of the full string theory, not only the supergravity limit, by using standard Wirtschild perturbation techniques. Moreover, the infinite symmetries in two-dimensional conformal field theory suggest that it could be a useful step in trying to understand some properties of string theory in general. And such backgrounds are also relevant for the study of the quantum aspects of black holes in string theory. By ADS3, I mean the infinite cover of SL2 such that the time-like direction is not compact. It can parameterized in various ways. One set of global coordinates, the so-called cylindrical coordinate, is given here and drawn in this picture. In this case, the boundary of ADS3 is a cylinder, where the time goes along the cylinder. There are other useful coordinates that people use, like Poincaré-like coordinates, in which case the boundary is a two-sphere parameterized by gamma and gamma bar, and some of you are probably used to see the metric of ADS3 written in this form. I will start the talk from the end and approach with time towards the beginning. So the summary of the talk is that the perturbative worksheet study that I will present later, together with some simple consequences that are non-perturbative effects obtained from the conjecture of the dual conformal field theory and string propagating in ADS3 background, lead to the duality between string theory propagating on ADS3 and some points in the moduli space of a two-dimensional conformal field theory, which is the symmetric orbifold, or something closely related to it, with a block M whose details depend on the Wirtschild details of the background N. More explicitly, giving a Wirtschild background, which is an ADS3 associated to an SL2 conformal field theory at level K, times a conformal field theory background N, which makes the total central charge the critical one. In addition to this Wirtschild details, there is another parameter satisfying the theory, which is the string coupling, which I choose to parameterize by an integer number P in this way. And this number has the following related properties. First, it is the number of infinite fundamental strings required to generate the ADS3 background. What I mean by that is the following picture. suppose we start from this string background, namely string theory on Minkowski space in two dimensions, times another real line parameterized by a scalar phi with a linear Dilaton term, and we place fundamental strings whose world volume stretch in R11. If we go to the near horizon limit of these fundamental strings, we obtain the ADS3 at level K, where the level K depends on the coefficient of the linear Dilaton times the extra conformal field theory background N. And if we place P fundamental strings, then G string squared will behave like 1 over P times some data depending on K and the background N. For instance, if our initial linear Dilaton background is the near horizon limit of KNS5 brains, which takes this form, the CHS background, then placing the fundamental strings in R11 turns this R11 times R5 into the ADS3 background, obtaining an ADS3 times S3 times T4 background, with G string squared equal to K over P. Okay, the second related point is that P is the maximal number of long strings which can be emitted in the ADS3 background. So, as studied by various people that I mentioned here, with a finite energy cost, an ADS3 background can emit a long string which likes to live near the boundary of ADS3, and due to the presence of an antisymmetric background which contributes negative contribution to the energy, it is possible that although these strings are infinitely long, that the energy cost is finite for their generation. So pictorially, we have the picture that some long strings can be emitted from the bulk and live near the boundary of ADS3. And that number P is the maximal number of such emitted long strings in the background. Classically, Maldacena and Oguri showed, and these pictures are taken from their work, that such long strings can be obtained by sort of a twist. In their language, it was described by spectral flow in SL2 of a space-like geodesic solution in ADS3, which upon twist, it turns in asymptotic times into such long strings. There are also related twists of time-like geodesics, and whenever I will talk about such twists, I will refer to them as long strings, even if they are corresponding to the time-like geodesics and not really to those long strings. So the picture that will emerge from that study is that in the space-time conformal field theory, the block M of the symmetric product will be a 2D conformal field theory whose central charge is 6 times the level of SL2. And the block itself will correspond to a theory of a single long string and its short string excitation. So the long string living in the boundary of ADS3, and we need at least one to construct the ADS3 background from the linear Dilaton one, can emit short strings into the bulk, and those bulk degrees of freedom, together with the spectrum of that long string itself, will give rise to the space-time block of the symmetric product with central charge 6k, while sectors with a larger number of long strings will correspond to twisted sectors of the symmetric product. More explicitly, on the worksheet, there will be several kinds of vertex operators. There will be vertex operator in what I will call the untwisted sector V, and text operators obtained from them by twisting, in some sense that I will try to explain, into W-twisted sectors. Vertex operators in the worldsheet conformal field theory correspond to single particle states in the space-time theory. And it will turn out that vertex operators in the W-twisted sector will correspond in the space-time description to operators in the W-twisted sector of the symmetric product. In more precisely, in the Zn twisted sectors of the Mn modded by Zn, orbifold symmetrized by Sp. To check this picture, I will simply use standard worldsheet perturbation expansion in order to study the spectrum of the theory. And it will simply turn out that the structure of the spectrum is precisely the same as the structure of the spectrum of the symmetric orbifold, which can be studied by using general analysis of orbifold conformal field theories. Of course, since we do not sit precisely at the point of the symmetric orbifold, the spectrum of the two will not coincide. But in theories with enough supersymmetry, one can check the chiral spectrum, and it will turn out that the chiral spectrum corresponding to single string states will coincide. So to show all this, let me begin by reviewing the bosonic string on ADS3 with a twist. In this theory, there is a left-handed defined SL2 symmetry times a right-handed one. The left-handed one, and in the rest of the talk, I will mainly concentrate on the left movers. The right movers can be added in an obvious way. There are affine current J3 plus and minus, generating the affine SL2 symmetry. As usual in string theory, in space-time, it gives rise to an SL2 Lie symmetry generated by the operators L0 and L plus minus 1 corresponding to the zero modes of the J's, and they have the commutation relations corresponding to an SL2 Lie algebra. From the ADS3 CF2 correspondence, one would expect that this will be only a small part of the full Virasoro algebra in space-time, and indeed in a work with Kutasov and Zeiberg, we constructed in a certain representation, the so-called free field representation that I present here, and I'm not going to explain, the rest of the space-time operators generating the full Virasoro algebra, and the central charge of the Virasoro algebra in space-time, as is expected from the work of Brown and Eno, is 6 times k times that number p that I introduced before. Worldsheet properties of the theory are lifted in the most natural way into space-time properties of the 2D conformal field theory. Not only the affine SL2 giving rise to the Virasoro algebra of the space-time, also other affine symmetries on the worldsheet give rise to affine symmetry in the space-time conformal field theory. Primary fields on the worldsheet of the SL2 algebra, which are specified by the spin J, correspond to primaries in space-time with scaling dimensions J plus 1. Left movers on the worldsheet are lifted into left movers in space-time, right movers to right movers, and so on. It is convenient to write the Cartan generator of the SL2 affine algebra as the derivative of a canonically normalized scalar x times some coefficient, and to decompose any operator in the theory under the SL2 mod U1 parafermionic quotient times the U1 corresponding to this J3. In this language, a primary field in the representation J, M, and M bar, where M and M bar are the eigenvalues of J3 and J3 bar, decompose into a parafermionic theory, a parafermionic part times an exponent in this coordinate x with coefficients that are m and m bar, and it has the scaling dimension associated with the second Casimir of SL2. Unitarity of the string theory implies that only certain representations of SL2 should be considered. The highest weight and lowest weight discrete representations, which have J, which take real values in a certain bound, and M's that are either bigger than J plus one, bigger than J or smaller than J, or the continuous representations, in which case J is minus 1/2 plus some imaginary number. Operators in the physical vertex operators in the full theory, which are in the discrete representations of SL2, correspond in space-time to the modes of a primary field with scaling dimension J plus one, and this can be easily checked by computing the commutators of the space-time Virasoro generators with such Vs and obtaining precisely the commutation relations of modes of a primary field with this scaling dimension. The operators that are presented so far, I will refer to as the operators in the untwisted sectors of the theory, and that is because in order to obtain a consistent theory, I have to introduce a twist for the following reason. Single-valuedness of the wave functions on ADS3 imply that M and M bar are not independent, but their difference must be an integer number. Now, to obtain this condition intrinsically in the ADS3 worksheet conformal field theory, one needs to include a twist field, namely an operator, which I will call TW, which imposes this condition via mutual locality. The operator that I wrote here, which is a certain exponent in X, does the job. One can easily check that its operator product with any operator, phi j m and bar, gives something which is mutually local if and only if m minus m bar is integer. And when constructing now the complete theory for three-level unitarity and modular invariance, one has to include, in addition to the untwisted sector vertex operators, all those that appear in the twisted sectors. The operators that appear in the twisted sector, phi j m with an index w for the w-th twisted sector, take this form. They have this scaling dimensions, and of course they are precisely the operators obtained in the work of Maldacena and Noguri, who used the spectral flow arguments and comparing to the pictures, the classical description of these operators in the ADS3 background for the discrete representations is the upper picture, while for the continuous representations, it will be the lower one. To find the space-time properties of the worksheet vertex operators in the twisted sectors, I have to compute, for instance, to find the properties under Virasoro, I have to look for the commutation relations of Virasoro generators with them. They take this form from which one can find that the operators in the twisted sector W correspond in space-time to the mode M equal to minus H of a primary field with scaling dimension H, which is M plus K over 2 times W, plus something else which annihilates the vacuum. building a physical vertex operator by dressing an operator with scaling dimension delta on the worksheet from the conformal theory background N with a piece from the twisted sector W of the ADS3 part, one finds that the on-shell condition reads that the weight in space-time, given in terms of W and delta in this way, again, precisely as is obtained in the work of Maldacena and Uguri. To be able to study chiral spectrum, I want to extend this to superstrings on ADS3, and I will review them with a twist. So the standard thing to go to a superstring is first to introduce worksheet fermions on the SL2, then considering the physical currents of SL2, which are some combination of the bosonic ones I discussed before with fermionic contribution, and a particular class of superstrings on ADS3 that have n equal to 2 supersymmetry in space-time is the following. As usual in string theory, space-time supersymmetry is related to some specific conditions for the worksheet background. In this particular case, the special properties of the conformal field theory background N that allow an n equal to 2 supersymmetry in space-time is that first, n includes an affine U1 symmetry, which I will denote by U1, and I will parameterize the U1 current by the derivative of a scalar field canonically normalized that I will call Y, and then n can be decomposed on the quotient of n by this U1 times the U1. In addition, the quotient n mod U1 should have an n equal to 2 supersymmetry now on the worksheet, whose R current I can parameterize by some coefficient times the derivative of another scalar field, which I will call Z. And the space-time supercharges are constructed in the standard way, completely analogous to the way they are constructed in flat space by Friedan, Martinek, and Schenker, by writing appropriate spin fields that now involve exponent in these scalar fields Y and Z. Again, I will not go through the details of why this is the right thing to write, but it is, and looking for the commutation relations of this space-time supercurrents with themselves and with the Virasoro algebra, one see that they generate an n equal to 2 superconformal algebra. I only want to point out that the R charge of this n equal to 2 in space-time is the zero mode up to some coefficient of the U1 current in the conformal field theory N on the worksheet. To introduce the twist that makes the theory consistent in the supersymmetric case, in addition to a piece, which is an exponent of the X bosonizing the Cartan subalgebra of the ADS3 part, in order for the twist to commute with the supersymmetries, and since I want to have a superstring and not a twist that would break supersymmetry, although this can be interesting by itself, I also have to include a piece which is an exponentiation of the scalar Y parameterizing the U1 in the rest of the background N. So the twist field that will commute with the supersymmetry reads in this following way. And now to construct the full spectrum, I have to act, first preserve only those operators that are mutually local with these operators, and add to the spectrum all the twisted sectors operators obtained by multiplying them with TW. The picture obtained is that the spectrum corresponding to untwisted vertex operators transforms into some spectrum in the W twisted sector. For the chiral spectrum, the picture is especially simple. There is actually a cloning of the spectrum. If we start from the untwisted sector and act on it with the twist TW, we get precisely the same spectrum, but it is shifted by an amount K over 2 times W. Just to impress you a little bit with some concrete equations. For instance, the operators corresponding to the chiral spectrum in the untwisted sector can be built in a very standard way, very similar to the flat case. We look like this, and you can then twist them. I will not write what the twist operators would look like, but studying their scaling dimensions, you find that pattern that I was talking about. Now, this pattern of the spectrum is precisely the same as the chiral spectrum, as the pattern of the spectrum in a symmetric product of the form that I mentioned before. Well, actually, to be more precise, in this way, there is no way I'm going to get the full chiral spectrum of the symmetric orbifold, but I should identify those chiral operators in the symmetric product which correspond to single particle states. There are no single particle states in this conformal field theory, but what I mean by single particle states, I mean those single string states, the ones that are created by a single vertex operator. And there is a natural way to identify those in a symmetric product. Each twisted sector in a symmetric product is specified by a cyclum in the symmetric group, and those that are specified by the cyclum n times 1 to some appropriate power should correspond to single string operators. By studying the two-dimensional conformal field theory on such background, one can show in a very general way that giving an n equal to 2 symmetric orbifold, then for any operator in the untwisted sector, namely in the conformal field theory M, which is chiral with scaling dimension H, there is an operator in the nth twisted sector, Mn moded by Zn of the symmetric product, with a scaling dimension that is shifted by the central charge of the block M divided by 2 times n minus 1 if we are considering the Zn twisted sector. And this is precisely the pattern obtained for the spectrum in the worksheet study. There are several examples that can be studied explicitly. The most studied example is the one that has small n equal to 4 supersymmetry in space-time corresponding to string propagating in ADS 3 times S3 times T4. In this case, the full chiral spectrum in the untwisted sector was given in the work of Kutasov, Larsen, and Lee, and it takes this form, and by twisting this spectrum, one obtained the picture that I suggested and resolved a certain puzzle that existed in the past. It turns out that already in the untwisted sector of this case, what will be the building block of the theory that I was talking about so far, M6K, is by itself presumably in the moduli space of a symmetric product, T4 to the K moded by SK. This what this spectrum suggests. Now, taking into account also the twisted sectors, one expects the symmetric orbifolding of P copies of this symmetric product itself by SP. The single particle single particle chiral spectrum of this orbifold obviously matches the one that one obtains from the worksheet conformal field theory. There were also speculations that this theory itself is in the moduli space of T4 to the KP moded by a symmetric group SKP. And I think that this is not accidental. It was argued, at least for K and P that are co-prime, that the theory parameterized by the integers K and P is in the same moduli space of the theory corresponding to whatever would be the near horizon limit of KP fundamental string and a single five brains. So the fact that one may expect these two points to be related to each other is related to that. There is, however, a subtlety that it is not clear what happens with the multi-particle spectrum of these two theories. Naively, at least, they don't seem to match. Other examples that we studied explicitly are theories with n equal to 3 supersymmetry. Before that, there is another example that has an n equal to 4 supersymmetry, is a large n equal to 4. In this case as well, it turns out that the building block M of central charge CXK is by itself in the moduli space of a symmetric product, but that property that M itself is in the symmetric product of, in the moduli space of a symmetric product, breaks when the supersymmetry is not n equal to 4 anymore. In theories that have only n equal to 3 supersymmetry, although the spectrum is closely related to that of a symmetric product, the building block itself cannot be a symmetric product. And theories that have only n equal to 2 symmetry are certainly just the symmetric product of this building block M, and M itself is by no way a symmetric product. So, to summarize, I will go back to the beginning to conclude that this perturbative Wurzschild study plus the non-perturbative expectation that there will be intrication on the spectrum that will allow the central charge of the space-time conformal free theory to be finite, 6kp, suggests that the string theory in ADS 3 times n is dual to some point in the moduli space of the symmetric product M to the P moded by SP. The conformal free theory block corresponds to a single long string and its excitations. Operators in the W twisted sector of the orbifold conformal free theory in space-time are associated with W long strings in the background of ADS3. The maximal number of such long strings, which is also the number of fundamental strings required to generate this background, P, determines the last possible pth twisted sector, and therefore this number P. The spectrum of single particle states corresponding to chiral operators in space-time coincides precisely in the study of the Wurzschild perturbative analysis and the expectation from the study of this two-dimensional conformal free theory in space-time. That's what I have to say.
Okay, if there are no questions, let's start the next speaker again. Last speaker of this session is Professor Mike Green from Cambridge University. He'll talk about connecting.